Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. In his book, Marriage Under Fire, Dr. James Dobson says, marriage, when it functions as intended, is good for everyone. I would add that the converse is true. When it dysfunctions, it's usually good for no one. And nowhere could this be more true than when same-sex marriage is endorsed and then even legalized. It is alarming to note that though 31 states have voted for the biblical definition of marriage, now the decision in New York to legalize same-sex marriage means that there are 6 states that so order. Our own president is not helping the situation, as he recently ordered the Justice Department to no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, and already there are politicians like Barney Frank who are seeking to pursue a new definition of marriage, legitimizing same-sex unions that then would become a national standard. Dr. Dobson reminded us in the book, for 60 years, the homosexual activist movement and related entities have been working to implement a master plan that has at its centerpiece the utter destruction of the family, and now the final battle is at hand. He says it is a perfect storm. Well, today we welcome Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage, to address that issue for us. Welcome, Maggie. We're glad you can be with us.
It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Now, Maggie, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization for our listeners.
Well, the National Organization for Marriage, which I have to say we had the honor of receiving a personal donation as well as an endorsement from Dr. Dobson when we started in 2007, is the only single-issue national organization that focuses on fighting to protect marriage as one man and one woman, and also fighting against the negative religious liberty conflicts that come from government endorsing the idea that gay unions are just the same as marriages. And our probably biggest claim to fame was getting Prop 8 on the ballot. Some of your listeners may be aware we worked very hard in the state of New York in the battle to fight gay marriage there, and we're also helping lead a coalition in New York called LetThePeopleVote.org, which is about making it clear to politicians in Albany, especially the Republicans, that they made a big mistake in voting for gay marriage. We're not giving up on this fight, either in New York or nationally.
Yes, we covered the subject of Proposition 8, and we had the leading attorney from the Pacific Institute on radio here. And also, I took part in a Let the People Vote rally and in contact now with Jason McGuire from New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom regarding the ongoing issue. So let me address the question for the day is this. If same-sex marriage were to become a national law, and when it becomes a law in a state, what's the fallout in families and government and business and conscience and all the rest? Tell us how the scenario plays out when this gets accepted.
To understand what happened, what we're dealing with, gay marriage is not about what Adam and Steve do in their private life. It's about what government is going to teach and insist on in public life. And the heart of the gay marriage idea is that there is no difference between two men in the union and a husband and wife. And if you see a difference, there's something wrong with you. You're like a bigot opposed to interracial marriage. And when the government adopts this idea, there are enormous consequences. I mean, the first is that in the public square, we lose the idea of marriage itself. And marriage is not just a religious idea, although I think it does require God in the mix to be effectual. But marriage is known in virtually every human society. The great truths of Genesis, we have to bring together male and female to make the future happen so that children have mothers and fathers. And a civilization that loses the idea of marriage, that it's not just about your romantic impulses or your personal desires. It has a big purpose that we all need to share and support and protect. That society is going to be in trouble because we need marriage, and in particular, children need a society where this understanding of marriage is respected and protected. So that's the first consequence, and
yes,
very
and,
large.
Yes, and we understand that. And we understand that there's a lot of issues for the family in terms of parents and mother and father images and all the rest that happened to children. But what about in the marketplace? What about in business? What about in schools? What about in other areas?
Let's go to the question of schools. What's going to happen? What will happen to teachings about marriage and the family whether it's in sex education, which is taught in public schools, whether we like it or not, or home economics, or in the teaching of civil rights. Your taxpayer dollars are going to be used to teach your children and grandchildren the biblical views of marriage are outdated, discarded, biased, and hateful. That's fundamentally what's going to happen. So it's not. This is going to affect every family in New York and in the nation through the public schools and in the other ways that the government teaches what marriage is and what it means. But it's also already having direct impacts on Christians in the state of New York who disagree with the government's definition of marriage. The first line, and I hope you've talked to Reverend McGuire about this, now you should have him on to talk about it, are the marriage clerks.
Yes, we talked about that.
People who sign the marriage licenses, often, I mean, I'm thinking of, there's a one woman who is 65 years old. She has had to surrender her health benefits because she won't, you know, on the off chance, there's only 12 marriage licenses a year in her district, and the off chance that one of them might be a gay couple, instead of stepping aside and letting someone else do it, she's being told basically that she either has to personally sign these licenses or risk her job. In Nassau County, the prosecutor, the state DA, actually threatened criminal prosecution if any marriage clerk tried to step aside and not sign the marriage license. And this is a frontline issue because it's a signal or a sign of how people who disagree with gay marriage are going to be treated by their own government as we move down the road. And if you want to know, if you want to answer the question, how is that going to be, you really have to ask yourself, how do we treat people who are racist opposed to interracial marriages? No, we don't throw you in jail. You're sort of allowed to be a racist in our society. But the government does step in powerfully. It intervenes to try to repress and marginalize anti-equality views when it comes to race. And the explicit goal of gay marriage advocates is to use these same legal mechanisms to repress and marginalize and stigmatize traditional believers in marriage on the grounds that they are now deemed by the government as like racist.
Well, one of the things... Excuse me, Maggie. One of the things we're going to deal with at the end of this series is persecution, what it costs to stand for the truth, and we have someone on board who's going to deal with that. And it does seem like what's happening is a very interesting question because they want to talk about tolerance, but they won't tolerate our different view from their view when we don't tolerate their view. It's a mixed bag, and we really deal with their hypocrisy. We only have about a minute left, so what else do you think we need to be concerned about?
Well, right now I'm getting a lot of reports from people who are losing their jobs because they wrote or spoke or donated for same-sex marriage. There's a Christian apologist named Frank Turek in North Carolina that I just interviewed. He teaches leadership seminars for major corporations, and the student Googled him, found he had written a book opposing gay marriage, and said he was going to get him fired, and he succeeded. There's a sportscaster in Canada who tweeted to his own personal account that he supported the true and authentic meaning of marriage, and he was fired the next day. So we're just in the beginning of this struggle, but we are seeing all kinds of serious legal threats that stem from the ideas driving gay marriage. When they say equality, what that means is the government has the right to repress anti-equality views, i.e. traditional Christian believers. It's very serious.
Yes, the term tolerance is used, the term diversity is used, the terms discrimination are used. But in actual sense, they reverse the whole idea, and they make us the victims of their abuse rather than we being those who are abusing them. The other problem we have is that when we even suggest that homosexuality is wrong in some countries, you're guilty of a hate crime. They assume because you disagree, you hate. Well, my goodness, Congress disagrees all the time. Do they really hate each other? Well, maybe sometimes they do, maybe sometimes they don't. Maggie, thank you so much for what you're doing in the National Organization of Marriage. We really applaud it, and we wish you very well, and we appreciate your time on our radio program today.
Join us next week at the frontier where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.